Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Themis Claridis joining us here in studio. She'll be here with much of the hour here. Of course, former Republican state rep and leader in the House and former Senate candidate. What's going on?
What's not going on?
I know. I thought the session ended. We're supposed to go on vacation or something.
No, that never happens. I mean, I'll tell you, in all my years in the state house, probably half the time we ended regular session, we went into special session between then and June 30th, the end of the fiscal year, because something happened. See, whether you didn't finish the budget properly,
right,
or somebody found something they didn't like, or the governor vetoes something, you have to redo it.
So, we have so many things to talk about, and I want to talk about some baseball, too. I want to talk about Hartford, but I want to wait on the housing thing for 8:20. Do you think, I want to talk about the guardrail, since you were so involved in the 2017 deal that really put the state in such a good position now, even though there are massive challenges, but it's a much better position, I would say, than it was before 2017, are you worried that the guardrails are in some sort of peril, that it's going to be, is it incrementally going to be broken down, or do you think it's in good shape?
No, I have very serious concerns that the guardrails are in peril. You know, we went for decades not paying down state employees' pension, not paying down teachers' pension, these promises that we made to people that it's our obligation to keep.
Right.
And it's because every year there was something. Right. And whether I agree with people's need for money in here or there, everybody has a valid need for money somewhere. Sometimes we all agree on it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's specific areas. And every year there's something. It's just human nature. You're going to have more need for funding.
So what would
every
you have,
year.
What would you have done? Just been held the line more firmly?
I think,
I mean, they go outside, they go off budget. They always find these funds, some bucket somewhere,
right,
to find something.
And it's one-time revenues. They find money. And, you know, the problem this year is they're talking about, oh, it's just this year. We won't do it another year. I don't mean to mock anybody, but that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, we've done this. I mean, look at the special transportation fund, right? That money was supposed to be used every year to fund our roads and bridges and that kind of thing. Do you know how many years that fund was raided for other things that had nothing to do with transportation? The tobacco settlement money, same thing. I mean, it's by definition, if there is a pool and a pocket and an area of money, somebody's going to take it because it's responsible budgeting isn't happening. In 2017, we did these caps. And remember, in 1991, the state voted to have a constitutional spending cap put into statute.
Right.
Never was done. I mean, never was done. And so we have all this money because of these caps. You can't say, oh, we have all the surplus. We're going to have the second highest surplus in the history of Connecticut, so we can afford to take some of it. Every time you take some of it, it puts the fiscal stability at risk. Every time.
So let's pause here, because I think that when I hear that, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I don't know why everybody in the Republican Party in Connecticut isn't just banging on doors to get good people to run. Because the only way to change this dynamic, and we have to take a break here, is to get more competitive government at the state capitol. That is the only way to have this work out more like what you're saying.
Easier said than done.
I know. I understand. So the housing, I'm fascinated because, you know, I know Lamont, and I asked him straight out the day after the session whether he's going to run again. And he's obviously leaning yes, but has not decided yet. And he coyly said, I said after the legislative session, I didn't say the day after, I was going to tell you. But there's a lot of Democrat on Democrat crime going on. I feel like Ritter threw a few shots across the bow of Lamont this session. And yesterday you had Martin Looney and Bob Duff, two of the most powerful Democrats at the Capitol, basically say, dare him to veto it, this housing bill, right? He's like, we'll negotiate, but go ahead. If you don't like it, Governor, go ahead and veto it. And, you know, we know the Republicans, I agree. Like, I don't think he should sign it with an understanding that they're going to tweak it. You either veto it, sign it, or call a session. I really think those should be the three options, but they keep talking about this fourth. And then, you know, I feel like the bill was passed. Lamont knew it was in it, but a bunch of buddies down in Fairfield County called him up and gave him an earful. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute here. I mean, where are you on this?
I don't think that was exactly how it happened. But, I mean, he knew there were problems with it. But I agree. If he had said when they were negotiating it, I'm not going to sign it with this, and this in it, then they would have been aware of that. But it also happens that, and I will tell you this, and it's one of my major frustrations being a legislator, is that people don't pay as close attention as they need to while things are going on.
But this bill is years in the making.
It's years in the making, but it's changed drastically in all different directions. And so sometimes these mayors and first selectmen, they're so consumed with their doing their job with their town that they don't necessarily make the call at the time they're supposed to make the call. Now, I don't know if they made it before and after, but the fact of the matter is, you know, this bill is a long time in the making, and we all understand the need for housing in Connecticut. But when you tell a town you have to have X amount of units of affordable housing, that's not fair. It's taking away local control.
So Jason Rojas would say that's not what we're doing.
Of course he'll say that because he wants you to believe that. You know, there's such a thing as a slippery slope. And I love Jason. He's a good guy. And I know he believes strongly in this issue. And I respect that. But there is a slippery slope with a lot of this stuff. I mean, they call it the fair share study.
Right.
So they're going to figure out what each town should be doing as their fair share.
And then
share.
They get 5 years and to then, do it or something.
And what he will say is that there's no consequence if you don't do it. But there's an incentive if you do it. To get more state funding.
Here's the deal.
That's his and others' right. argument about why it's not, they're not forcing you to do
it. I understand that. We have 169 towns, and, you know, and a lot of, I'd say probably 145 of them have huge, not in my backyard issues with it, but we have a housing crunch in this state. And I would like to see like more neighborhoody things as opposed to just apartments going up. But my question to you is if there's something between 145 towns saying no, never, and forcing it down their throats, what is the solution to incentivize communities? I don't even think affordable housing is kind of silly because there's a lot of housing that even if you make it, I mean, it's almost all housing is unaffordable for half the state. I mean, there's an affordability issue. So you could have a two-income household and not afford a bunch of stuff. But what would you do, Themis? I mean, these are things like I'm asking you. You're not in the game as much. So if you were in the game, how would you solve this problem?
But I mean, just remember this bill. I think they debated it for 11 hours. I think, right? I mean, this is there's a lot more in it.
It's a big bill.
Just
I know. It's
I
like
mean,
90
there's
something
development.
Pages.
There's parking. I mean, the fact that towns can't set minimum parking requirements for residential areas. Think about that for a second. So I'm the mayor or first selectman of a town, and that's within my purview to decide what there's a residential.
Well, it would still be in your purview. You just couldn't require it. You could
right, but then you just took it out of my purview. If you're telling me I can't say, all right, there's 20, I'm just throwing a number out there. There's 20
units
in this thing.
So and you I don't think have we, to do any
need,
parking.
We need right. 20 spaces. I mean, you would think that's common sense because parking is always an issue, right, when you go places. And so I'm not able to do that now. Now the state is telling me I can't do it. You know, you're like you're ripping local control.
I get that. I get that the parking one. I get the permitting for converting commercial space to residential.
Right. Big deals,
but the target numbers. I want you to tell me like what's a better way to approach. You don't have to be the answer of all answers. You're not the wizard behind the curtain. I get it. But like,
sometimes I am.
Do you have any thoughts on what would be a better way to approach it?
You know, I think you need to do it in a way that. You know that phrase that you get more people with honey than what, vinegar?
Sure.
Right?
Carrot stick. There's a bunch of different ways.
It's the same thing with regionalization. I look at it in the same way as regionalization. We've seen bills in the legislature that force regionalization of schools.
Yeah.
For example, several years ago. And nobody wants their schools regionalized. If they're forced to do it. But there are many natural areas in the state that can that do regionalize, and it works.
So
and
what
I'm
is,
sure there
what
are
is
others.
How
so
does
with,
this relate
with housing, but with housing, it's about helping the towns get there. Now, Jason and others that are proponents of this bill will tell you that's what we're doing here. We're figuring out what we think your town should have for affordable housing, right? And we're recommending that that's what you do. There's no consequences if you don't do it, but towns that do it, you know, we'll get more state funding. Now, the fact is that you live in a state like Connecticut because, you know, of the local nature and the control of where you live. And, you know, you either want to live in a rural place or a suburban place or maybe more of a little more of an urban place as far as we have cities. And so that's taking that away from people. Now, I know you're asking, there is no straight out answer. There's no black and white answer to this, but it's about incentivizing people. He will tell you that this is incentivizing people. And that's why I think that the answer is not one, you know, option two. Governor, just sign the bill and it's not effective till October 1st. So we'll figure it out before
I'm
then.
Not supportive
no,
of that either.
You veto it and you get everybody in the room and you figure out, all right, I can live with this section, but I can't live with that section. How do I make that section better? We do this all the time, right? There are ways to make this better. There are certain people that are never going to like it, no matter what form it ends up in. But you have to, there's certain issues that we are all never going to agree on, and you have to negotiate a way that makes it palatable to people, where it's taking less control away from the towns.
So, I mean, again, this is such a fascinating conversation because I don't want to take power away from the towns, but I think that there has to be something. If you have the available space, I think there needs to be more even distribution of the creation of housing in the state. And I don't know how to, I don't want to force it down Fairfield County's throat or anybody's throat. I just feel like there needs to be something that really, whether it's a carrot or a stick, whether it's vinegar or honey, I don't know, but
it's not a stick. It's just not. It's got to be a carrot, and it's also not a one-size-fits-all thing.
We're here with Themis Claridis, who will be with us the rest of the hour. We didn't have you scheduled till 9, but I don't have anything at 8:50 if you want to stay, because we got plenty to talk about. Do you want to continue with the state, or do you want to talk with some national stuff?
Whatever you want, Brian.
Well, I would just say, like, in terms of the – I wish there was a way – my last 8 question, then we'll reserve 8:50 for national issues – why can't they make a thing to finish the budget 2 weeks before the end of session? Because there's like hundreds of bills that never get anything. And like, why? I mean, do they know that this bill X will never get a vote and they still do the work anyway?
I mean, I'm laughing at you, silly Brian.
Why?
First of all, there's a strategy to the whole thing.
The minority party wants to waste as much time, so
Do not blame the minority party, who has no control generally the entire session.
Well, they can extend the debate. They can
until the end, right? But that's you know, the majority party has control in most ways. The only real leverage the minority party has is they're able to say, okay, we have a constitutional deadline of midnight, the first Wednesday after the first Monday in June. And so everything has to be done by then. There's hundreds of bills that will never get done because they either got out of committee, but we're really never going to go anywhere, or, you know, this one doesn't like it enough, or that one doesn't like
but
it enough.
But any legitimate, like good for Connecticut stuff that doesn't
of
get
course,
a vote?
Of course, there always is, but there's you know, you have 151 members of the House and 36 members of the Senate and a governor, and everybody has bills. So there's certain, I can tell you that every bill I ever put in, I believe is good for Connecticut. That doesn't mean every single one is going to pass. You know, you could tell me the same thing. Every other member can tell you the same thing. I mean, that's not really the standard.
It's not how democracy works.
No, but that's not the standard that is it good for Connecticut. There's a lot of things that are good for Connecticut, but you have to kind of prioritize the things that will help.
I think the ratio of stuff that gets out of committee to what gets a full vote should be a little bit more balanced.
Why do you think that?
Because they have like 800 bills get out of committee and they vote on like 12.
But why
can't it be 50?
Okay, that's a flaw with the amount of bills that get out of committee, not the amount of bills that get out of the House or the Senate, right? That's the problem. Because you'll be the chairman of a committee, for example, and, you know, I'm the chairman and you're one of my members and you're like, I really want this. It's really important for my district.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have a public hearing. Okay, and then you can say why and people can say why not, and then we'll vote on it. But maybe the such and you know, this issue isn't just, oh, then the Republicans don't like it.
I was just saying.
No, but I mean, it's like the bigger fights are usually between the House and the Senate. Like we always used to say on the opening day of session that as a Republican, the Democrats are the opposition, but the Senate's the enemy. Right. In a lot of ways, because, you know, you talk about Republicans and Democrats fighting, but it's also a lot of House and Senate fighting amongst their own party.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons bills probably will never get through the full House and the full Senate. But you want to help somebody out and say, OK, we passed it out of committee. But, you know, then the House didn't take it up or the Senate didn't take it up. You can go back to your district and say, you know,
but you got to admit, we got to take another break. But it is a little frustrating.
It's not. It doesn't make sense to normal people. I understand that. It's unfortunately government
so
is
it
not.
Make
as
a, sense, I'm not smart enough to understand it. So no, thank you
no,
for
no.
clarifying
it,
for
no,
me.
No, it's that because government, as we know, is not as efficient
it's
as
not.
Real life.
Right.
You and that's
just,
the answer.
Right. That's why. Well, I won't get into political philosophy. That's why some people try to get more power because they want more of what they want to get done. And that's. That's the push and pull of the contemporary world, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. Themis Claridis here, Brian Shackman here, Brian and Company. I want to talk to some. We're not going to be able to solve all the world's problems here, but I want to ask you with a bit of a 30,000 foot question. As a Republican, if you want to be critical of something that's going on or constructive, I think there's several things to be constructive about what's going on. There's several things to be critical about what's going on. I'm not talking about immigration or trade. I'm just talking about the whole thing. Do you feel uncomfortable as a Republican criticizing the White House because of like fear of political retribution?
Yes. You know, and here's the thing. There is not one Republican president that ever existed in my lifetime that I can tell you I agreed with everything. Right. And I'm sure Democrats will say the same thing about their presidents. But I don't think anybody was ever worried about, as long as you say it in a respectful way, just like that's just manners. Right. When you disagree with somebody, I'm not going to say you're a big a-hole. What's wrong with you? Right. I'm going to tell you I don't agree with you. And here's why. And we're going to debate it. We're going to discuss it. Then we're going to walk away and say, OK, we don't agree on that. But this White House doesn't seem to.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
To respect the fact that people have different opinions. You're either with us or against us, right? Like that's the
I'm stunned at how they're treating Congress. I mean, they're like, they basically have said explicitly, like, either you better vote for this and you better let me get what I want,
right?
Or you're done.
Right. In the Senate, Republicans are struggling with that. They're making changes in this bill.
And do you think they're really gonna though? Do you think they're gonna?
Because
I feel like they're gonna jawbone like crazy. And they're going to throw something at Kentucky for Rand to zip it. And then they're going to end up doing them.
I'll tell you why I think they're going to change it. Now, I don't know to what extent they'll change it. But you have to remember that in the House, the districts are much smaller than the Senate districts. This is a lot of this is about reelection, right? That I live in the middle of somewhere. And if I vote for X with this particular part in it, I'm not going to get reelected. I mean,
right, but you make a cost-benefit analysis because if you go against the president, there's a chance you don't get reelected too.
Right, but it depends on where you're from. Right, depends on where you're from. If you're from Connecticut and you go against the president and you're a Republican, you're going to win a statewide election.
Right.
You're going to lose a primary, but you're going to win a statewide election.
No, but the point is like if you make that cost-benefit analysis, there are some areas where the president will bury you. And so it's a no-win situation.
But that's why the Senate and the House deliberations in regards to it, the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans, are different. I mean, you look at the Senate Republicans and you look at Susan Collins from Maine.
Ugh,
you look at Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. Stop it. I love Susan Collins.
Come on.
You just don't like how she talks. That's not right.
No, it's not true. That's not the Katharine Hepburn stuff. It's the fact that she... I just think in the end, I don't want to get into it.
But she represents Maine, too.
She does.
Like, this is another thing. She represents Maine. It is a Northeastern Republican. There's a reason. There's not many of them. I mean, if you think about it.
How many times has she said, I don't know, I don't like this, I don't think. And then at the end, she doesn't.
Sometimes she backs down. No, and oftentimes she doesn't. I mean, they're hot on the Medicaid stuff, right? And she knows. She's worried about that reelection. She's worried about what her state wants. And I also, conversely, understand that there are members in the House and the Senate who live in very Republican conservative districts that have to vote a certain way, too. But that's the struggle of a leader. Trust me. I know.
Right.
That you have to balance both of those and somehow come up with something. And then you have a president of your party, just similar to having a governor of your party. It's not easy. It's just not easy having that leader of your party when you're in a legislature, whether it's a state legislature or a national, Congress.
We're talking with Themis Claridis, former Republican leader at the State House and former Senate candidate here in Bryan and Company. The immigration, I almost don't want to bring it up with 3 minutes left, but, I've been listening and reading a lot about it. And the bottom line is that there aren't, relative to the overall population that ran through the border in the Biden years, there's just not a lot of violent criminals. And so they have these numbers that for some reason Stephen Miller wants 3,000 a day. And so they've said, I mean, it is illegal to come into the country and you break the law. So now they're, even if you're working and paying taxes, they're going to grab you if you're illegal. And I think that creates a debate with a lot of people. I think that very few people had problems with criminals being gathered to leave. But you're hearing stories, not even here in Connecticut, of people who've been here for years paying taxes and being constructive members of society that are getting corralled. And so I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with this.
I mean, that's why, I mean, we saw the Quinnipiac poll, the latest poll that came out, and the president's numbers, approval ratings have gone down kind of in all areas. And this is just a snapshot, and a data point, as we discussed. I mean, polls... We haven't had a lot of confidence.
There's only 26% of the people polled were Republicans, 28% Democrats, and like 36% independents. But please, I want you to continue.
I think people are torn over the fact that, we need to have a stronger border and we need to have laws that people follow in this country. Now, when my grandparents came here, and a lot of our grandparents,
they go to Ellis Island or?
They had rules and laws and they followed those and they came here. That has clearly loosened up as years have gone on. And I don't agree with that, but I also don't agree that you have to follow the same laws that we followed 50 years ago. I think there needs to be a new definition of a path for citizenship. But I don't think that means you just show up here, we don't do anything about it. You know, you need to have a job, you need to pay taxes, you need to be here for a certain amount of time, which is not 2 minutes.
So you right? you support a path to citizenship?
I do. But I also support a stronger border. And I think, you know, what's happened in the past 4 years has been horrific under Biden. And I think what's interesting is that is part of the reason why Donald Trump got elected, because even a lot of moderates, for sure, unaffiliates, but Democrats even finally said, this is ridiculous. Like, we're what's happening in this country? I mean, it's the wild, wild west here.
Do you really think they did it just because they think it's future voters for their party? Do you really think that was
a
strategy?
Else would they do? Tell me.
I don't know.
That's not the strategy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try and do the process of elimination, right? Eliminate what it's not. What else would it be? I mean, I think that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible way to govern. But the reality is, you see what's happening. You see violence. You see, you know, drug issues. You see all these things. And then you don't do anything about it, like at all, like anything, like even a little thing. Make it seem like you're doing something, like they didn't do anything. And I don't understand that. And so if you don't give me a reason why, then I have to assume that it's for personal benefit. It's just terrible.
I think it's fair. Listen, we're up against the clock. You're going to have to come back.
I'm going to have to.
A bunch of issues.
Go
here.
Yankees.
Whatever.
Woo, woo.
I might go there Saturday.
Aaron Judge.
I can't argue with Judge. First of all, you never argue with the judge. But he is awesome.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.